Believers Bible Assembly is pleased to welcome you this morning to our teaching series called Searching the Scriptures. It is our prayer that many will tune in to hear this teaching from God's Word, and the Lord will open many hearts to an understanding of His Word and to His wonderful salvation. If you are enjoying and benefiting from this program, then please inform your family and friends to also listen in each week to this broadcast. At the end of the program, I will provide phone numbers for you to contact us so that you may comment or ask questions about what you have heard or if you would like some more information about our church. Now let us begin today's broadcast with some music that will help prepare our hearts for hearing God's Word. If you have a Bible handy, you may want to open and follow along with today's scripture reading. We will be reading from
1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us.
Lesson 231, Walking in the Light. In our last lesson, we finished a study of 2 Peter, where we learned about the last days before the Lord returns, the character and conduct of false teachers, and how some will mock the promise of Christ's second coming. Today we begin a study of 1 John, where we will learn how to discern if we really have found eternal life through Christ. The letters of the Apostle John, as well as his Gospel and the book of Revelation, were the last writings to be added to our New Testament around 90 AD, even though long after the days when He knew Jesus in the flesh. John recalls the detail of Christ's ministry and teaching as the Spirit of God leads him to warn us about the spirit of Antichrist that will invade the church. He will also warn us about false professions, false teachers, and corrupt spiritual leaders. 1 John is not so easy to follow, for the thoughts seem to be a bit unconnected as one reads through this letter. However, there is much for us to learn from this important letter of the New Testament. This book can help a person discern whether they have genuinely found eternal life that comes by faith in Christ. John will test us by a series of proofs that demonstrate whether we really know God or not. For John, there is no middle ground. Either a person has God's salvation or they do not, and that is based on how faith has been manifested in their conduct. In the introduction, John begins abruptly into his discourse with no formal greetings, similar to his gospel. He begins immediately speaking of Jesus. He says he was from the beginning, speaking of his eternal existence. He mentions that we have heard, seen, looked upon, and handled him who is the Word of Life. John's words are simple, but the thoughts are quite profound. Jesus came into the world as one who existed from eternity and is the Word which communicates life to those who have come to know him. John and the other apostles made him known, for they had personally seen and heard him, even touching and handling him. This confirms the eternal divine nature of Christ as well as his authentic humanity, having come into the world through virgin birth. John declares as God's witness that Christ was that eternal life that was manifested to us from the Father in heaven. John's purpose in writing is stated earlier and is confirmed at the end of this writing also, which is that those who read will also enter into the fellowship with the apostles, believers, and with God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Additional to this purpose of finding fellowship with God and believers is the desire that we may find a full joy. John's message to us is that what they have heard of Christ they declare, which is that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. John uses the metaphor of light to describe God's truthfulness. God is full of truth and reveals truth. So if we want to walk with God, we must also walk in the light, that is, in the truth. If we walk in truth, then we have fellowship together with one another, that is, all believers, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Acknowledging the truth here means to admit that we are guilty sinners and deserve God's judgment. If we say we have not sinned, then we are not walking in the light of God's revelation and we are only deceiving ourselves. This is the first test that John gives us in this letter of how we can tell if we have eternal life. The test is, do we confess that we are sinners and guilty before God? It is only when we recognize this fact that we can and must come to God and ask for the forgiveness of sin. Christ can offer forgiveness to those who acknowledge their sin. It is important to understand that there are two types of forgiveness that God offers to us. The first forgiveness is judicial forgiveness. This means that God, as judge over us, can forgive our sins and free us from the penalty of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. This happens when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and means that the eternal judgment for our sin has been paid for by Jesus, and we will never have to face that judgment again. This judicial forgiveness is what is needed for anyone to become a child of God and enter into heaven. I hope you have sought forgiveness from God through the death of Jesus, and you can confirm that you are now a child of God. The second kind of forgiveness which God offers to us is parental forgiveness, and this is issued to believers who are related to God through Jesus Christ. Once we become God's children, then we still need forgiveness from our sins. Though we have been forgiven from the eternal penalty of sin, we still have a sin nature and commit sins against God. When we become aware of our sin, we can come to our Father in the name of Jesus and confess our sins. When we confess, John will teach us the liberating truth that God will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is parental forgiveness, and it is something that every Christian should be seeking from God on a daily basis due to our constant tendency towards sin. While we speak of these two kinds of forgiveness, it is essential to understand the difference between the two, so that we are not confused into thinking that we could lose our status as God's children. God forgives us just once in the judicial sense. When we look to Jesus as our Savior, God is so satisfied with what Jesus has accomplished for us through His own sacrifice that He can grant us a full and free pardon, which is eternal and cannot be withdrawn. Thank God today for the wonderful grace that saves us from the penalty of sin forever. When we as Christians sin, we might be inclined to think we have lost our relationship to God. Some people teach that you can lose your salvation, but that is not supported by the teaching of the New Testament, when properly understood. John wants us to know that when we acknowledge and confess our sins, we are simply walking in the light and agreeing with God that sin is bad, and we want to live righteously. John will talk more in this letter about sinful practice as a further test of whether we are truly God's child or not. Here in this chapter, we can rejoice that forgiveness is available to us as God's children when we confess our sins to Him. Have you received the judicial forgiveness that comes from God? If you want to be saved today, then come to God confessing your sins. Admit to Him that you are guilty and deserve His judgment. God wants you to be honest about your sin, and when you look to Jesus in faith, He promises to forgive you and give you eternal life. Just ask Him today to save you and cleanse you. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Now for today's Bible question. In today's lesson, John begins his first letter with testimony of the eternal Son of God manifested to men, from those who have seen, heard, and handled Him. We also considered what it means to walk in fellowship with God and His people by being honest about sin and confessing our sins to God. Someone might ask the question, should we confess our sins to God alone? John clearly teaches us that confession is necessary in the Christian life if we want to have God's forgiveness and cleansing. Some churches call on their members to confess their sins to a priest, but is that what John had in mind when he wrote these words? It is clear from this context that God is the one who has been offended by our sin, and it is to Him we should make our confession. It is important to understand that all sin is against God, and He alone can issue forgiveness to us. Thus, our confession can be made to God directly. We know that we all have access to the Father through our Savior, Jesus Christ. We do not need any other mediator between us and God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. There is therefore no need to confess our sins to a priest before we can have them absolved. There is a sense, though, in which it is important to be honest with others about sin and confess our struggles with sin. In James chapter 5, we learn that we should confess our sins to one another. It is not that we have to disclose all of our sins to everyone else in the church. There are matters which are deeply personal and are to be confessed to God alone. However, Christians should not hide the fact that they struggle with sin. If we try to hide our struggles, then we are not presenting a fair and honest image of Christianity. Every Christian will struggle with some sin at some point or another. As a person matures in Christ and is walking close to the Lord, they will become especially sensitive to sins in their life. It is important when counseling other believers to let them know that struggling with sin is not unusual, since all believers have similar struggles. Paul wrote, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. This helps us to understand that sin is our common problem, and we are all tempted to do what is wrong. This does not excuse our sin, but helps us to understand we are not alone, and that others are struggling with sin just as we are. Confession should be carefully done, and not just to anyone, for it might even cause some to stumble in the faith. A young person might look for someone older in Christ that knows them well and in whom they can put their trust. Confession to another is not just about informing others that we are also struggling with sin, but to request their spiritual help and prayers. When we tell someone of a battle with sin, they can advise us what to do or read some relevant scriptures to instruct us. Most importantly, they can see we are trying to deal with the sin and want others to pray and hold us accountable for our actions. So in this sense of seeking spiritual aid from mature believers, confession can be a very healthy and positive thing to do in order to win the battle against sin in our life. Do not feel you must confess all of your sins to others. Some people would likely not handle this information well. They might even gossip about you and bring much more damage to yourself and others. Though we do not want to hide the fact that we are guilty sinners, we also need good judgment so that we do not make sin into something worse than it has to be. We need the help and encouragement of our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we sincerely care about each other's spiritual well-being, we will want to help each other battle against sin by praying for each other, correcting each other, or counseling each other to turn away from sin. A good rule of thumb to use when deciding when and how to confess sin is to remember that public sin, that is, sin that has been openly committed and everyone knows about it, should be publicly confessed. This helps the person repent and be held accountable in a public manner so that shame and reproach do not fall upon the family or church. When sin is private, it need only be confessed privately to God or to the one who was personally hurt or offended by the sin. Also, depending on the person's position in life, they might be held to greater accountability if a greater trust had been given to them. A school teacher who abuses a child should be held to account because of their constant influence upon children and potential harm to them. A church leader is also to be publicly rebuked when he commits some public sin, so that others will fear. Ultimately, we must remember that all sin is against God and must first be confessed to God. It may also be necessary to confess to men, but in many cases this might not be edifying or helpful. We do not want to give the impression we are more righteous than they really are, but we also do not want to give the devil opportunity. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James chapter 5, verse 16. Just before we conclude today's broadcast, we want our listeners to be aware of our Emmaus Bible courses that we are making available. These courses are from Emmaus Bible College in the USA. There are 12 courses in the first series and also 12 in the second series. These courses begin with the basic teachings of Christianity and move on to more advanced doctrinal studies in subjects such as biblical marriage, the New Testament Church, and evangelism. If you should be interested in becoming a student of these courses, or feel that you could use these materials to help others grow in their Christian walk, then please feel free to contact us and we will provide the information needed to get you started. You may phone Shadrach in Kumasi at 024-442-1948, or if you have access to the Internet, please visit our website at www.BibleAssemblyChurch.com, where you will find details about the Emmaus courses and a student registration form that you can download and use to register as an Emmaus student. Jesus saw me with a stranger, wandering from the full of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Unto grace, how great a debtor, daily if you want to become a true born-again Christian, here is what you must do. 1. Admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Realize that God hates your sin and must judge it. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." And this means eternal separation from God. 3. Realize that God loves you and does not want you to perish. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 4. Realize that Jesus paid your debt of sin for you. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." 5. Accept God's free gift of eternal life by faith. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name." And also in Romans chapter 10 verse 9 it says, "That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And number 6, also be assured that your salvation is through Christ alone and not your works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." If you would like to receive God's free gift of eternal life right now, you may by a simple prayer made to God in faith. You could pray like this: "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and that I deserve God's judgment. I do not want to have to face that judgment, but I want to be saved and go to heaven. So please forgive me of my sins, and come into my life now to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins, and I thank you for the free gift of eternal life. If you have prayed this and believed with all your heart in Jesus as your Savior, then the Word of God assures you that you have been saved. It is not based on how you feel, but on your trust in the Lord Jesus. Thank you for listening to today's lesson. If you have any questions or comments for us, or you would like more information about God's way of salvation, or about our church, then please contact us. You may call Daniel at 024-325-1081, or if you prefer to speak Chi, then you may call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. Again, those numbers are Daniel at 024-325-1081, or for Chi, call Shadrach at 024-442-1948. The Believers Bible Assembly is a non-denominational church believing and practicing the teachings of the New Testament. Please tune in to this broadcast each Sunday morning at this time. Until next time, may the Lord bless you.
I wandered so aimless, love filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Man, I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claim for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. I saw the light. I was a fool to wander astray. Straight is the gate and narrow. Now I have traded wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow.